Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joining along with my co-host and partner in crime, Trent Mast. I mean, we have a lot in store for you guys here tonight. Most of it's a lot of stuff going on outside of the sports world of Bluffton, but don't worry, we'll round the show out with what's going on here at the university sports-wise. So, I mean, to start it all off, I mean, the first thing, the MLB season is now over. Boston beat the Dodgers last weekend to win the World Series. They won it in, what, five games, yeah. But today, the big thing was if Clayton Kershaw were to opt out of his current deal with Los Angeles, and he did not. Him and the Dodgers actually agreed to a three-year, $93 million contract today, and I'm pretty happy. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That is so much money.
But I'm pretty happy with that. Bringing back one of our best pitchers on the team and keeping him for another 3 years. So moving on from Major League Baseball to the world of the National Basketball Association, there was a lot of games that went on last night. First game we're going to talk about is the Denver Nuggets. They traveled to Cleveland last night and played the Cavs. They beat Cleveland at the Q 110-91.
It's not even close.
Not even close at all. I mean, yeah. The Nuggets were led by Juan Hernan Gomez, and he had 23 points leading the way for the Nuggets. But, I mean, what's going on in Cleveland? The Cavs are not starting this year off well. I mean, they're 8 games in, but to start 1-7 on the year, it just came out today that Kevin Love, their star player, is out for 6 weeks after he had toe surgery. They're looking for a new head coach. They fired Ty Lue earlier on in the week. I mean, it's abysmal down there in Cleveland for the Cavs. I mean, also, J.R. Smith, he wants traded. He wants to be gone. So that's the one thing that's like kind of that entire... Okay, so what was it, like 2015 they won the national... Not the national, the world title, the NBA title?
2015.
Was it 2015, 2016?
I think so.
I think it was that season. And that entire roster, the majority of it, they out. Yeah. I mean, LeBron's, he's a Laker. Kevin Love, he's injured. JR wants out. They traded away Iman Shumpert. Kyrie, he's in Boston. Like, a lot of the players that they had when they won that title, most of them are not there.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, they beat the Hornets 111-107. Russell Westbrook nearly had a triple-double last night with 29 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. Kemba Walker led the way for Charlotte with 21 points, 6 assists, and 5 boards. The close one out of the night was the 76ers beating the Los Angeles Clippers 113-112. Joel Embiid led the way for Philly with 41 points and 13 rebounds. Tobias Harris had 24 points and 8 rebounds for the Clippers. The Sacramento Kings beat the Atlanta Hawks 146-115. 146-115.
That's a lot of points on both sides.
Yeah, that is a lot for sure. Leading the way for the Kings was De'Aaron Fox. He had 31 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds. That young man had a triple-double. And then Jeremy Lin led the way for Atlanta with 23 points. There was a close one in Boston. The Celtics beat the Bucks 117-113. Giannis Antetokounmpo led the way for Milwaukee with a double-double. He had 33 points and 11 rebounds. And Kyrie Irving had 28 points, 7 assists, and 3 rebounds. The last game of the night from last night was Portland. They defended home court as the Trailblazers defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 132-119. Julius Randle had 29 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Damian Lillard finished with 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. So a slew of games there last night. And, I mean, looking at these games that happened, Trent, well, what are some of the takeaways heading into tonight's games?
Well, just looking at the games that happened last night, looked like there were some really close games with some of the teams and then some games that were really not even really a competition, it seemed like. I mean, blowing out a team by 30 points, I mean, in a way, that's not even fun to watch. But just, I don't know. It's the beginning of the year. I mean, things are going to get rocky. But I like watching close, intense games. So
yeah,
hopefully all the teams just get better and just keep the games close, keep it interesting.
I do want to correct myself. I had a typo in my rundown here. The Sixers beat the Clippers 122-113. I knew it wasn't that close of a game. Just a simple error there in typing. So my apologies there. It was 76ers beating the Los Angeles Clippers again, 122-113. But the games for tonight, I mean, there's a slew of them. At 7 o'clock tonight here in about an hour, the Clippers will travel to Orlando to take on the Magic. At 7:30, the Rockets will be in Brooklyn to take on the Nets. I mean, the big thing is Houston, who's been one of the top three teams in the Western Conference, aren't starting off well. They're 1-5 overall. I mean, Chris Paul is having a decent year to start the year off. He's averaging 19 points per game, 5.8 rebounds per game, and 8.2 assists per game. So it's not a bad year for CP3. At 8 o'clock on ESPN, the Thunder will be in our nation's capital to take on the Wizards. The Pacers will take on the Bulls in Chicago tonight at 8. The Knicks will take on the Mavericks at 8:30 in Dallas. The Grizzlies will travel to Utah to take on the Jazz at 9. And at 10 o'clock tonight, and the last game at 10:30 on ESPN, the Timberwolves will travel to Oracle Arena to take on the Warriors of Golden State. The biggest thing that I think out of this game is just one player, and that player is Jimmy Butler. There was a report that came out that, I mean, before the season started, Jimmy went off on his team, just saying how he's the best player on that team, that he's paired up with a bunch of young kids who don't care, really. And, he wants out. He wants traded, but they're not trading him. So now he wants to purposely sit out of games to make Minnesota trade it. What do you think of that?
I don't know. As an athlete, as a player, I mean, I want to get in the game as much as possible. I want to always be on the for me, it's a playing field. For right. him, it's a court. But even if he's saying, like, he's with young kids, I mean, they're adults, but young guys that don't really care. I mean, every team, you're going to have someone that seems like they don't care.
Right.
But just because that's not, like, the attitude you want to, like, you want your team to win. And if he, like he says, he's the best player on that team, he should be leading that team and stepping up and trying to take charge instead of just sitting back. And
yeah, I mean, Jimmy has a lot of great talent surrounding him. I mean, he has Karl Anthony Towns, who is one of the best big men right now in the game. You got Andrew Wiggins. I'm trying to think who else is on that team. I mean, there's not a lot of... I can't... My mind's blanking on who else is on that team. Well, Derrick Rose, for example. I mean, we were talking before the show if we wanted to touch on this, so why not? I mean, you got Derrick Rose as a backup point guard who dropped 50. He dropped 50 points a couple of nights ago for Minnesota.
I believe it was also his career best.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, he has talent around him, so I don't know. To me, it's just crazy.
Yeah. The funny thing is about that, though, after the whole him coming out saying how he doesn't like his team and how they're childish and he wants traded, I think it was their opening night at home in Minnesota, he comes out to a slew of boos. Like, the crowd's booing him. And then he has a stellar game, and he's at the foul line, and they're chanting MVP, MVP. Like, what? And you guys were just booing him, like, 30 minutes ago, and now you're chanting MVP? Come on, make up your mind.
One way or the other.
Yeah. So, I mean, anything else? I feel like we touched base on everything going on in the NBA right now. So I guess we'll move on to college football. Last night, there was a pretty solid game on ESPN with number 12 UCF escaping the upset from Temple. UCF won 52-40, and they were down at one point heading in the half, 34-28. It looked bleak there for a little bit for UCF, but that second half, they turned things around, beat Temple by 12. I think they're undefeated right now, but they had the longest undefeated streak going on right now in college football.
Oh, man.
Dating back to last season? Probably half of the 2 years ago, last season, they went undefeated, and then this year, they're still undefeated. Because I think it's 21 games.
That's impressive.
That is very impressive.
Very impressive.
But here, in about a half hour on ESPN2, Pittsburgh, who is 4-4 overall, 3-1 in the ACC, will travel to Charlottesville to take on number 25, Virginia. Virginia is sitting at 6-2 overall, 1-4 in the ACC. Both teams have one loss in the conference, so that'll be a big game there inside that conference to determine where these teams will be seated. Tomorrow's slate of games will start off with number 10 Ohio State. They will host Nebraska to kick things off at 12 on Fox. OSU, though, they're coming out of a bye, but they're looking to bounce back after that upset loss at Purdue 2 weeks ago. What do you think will be the thing Ohio State needs to do to just prove they're still the team to beat in the Big Ten?
I think they just come out hot, come out ready to play. I mean, I haven't really got the chance to watch a lot because, yeah. I mean, soccer just finished last week, but just after a loss like that, you went in your bye week after that loss, so it just gives you more preparation, get you more time to get your mind right, mind focused for this coming, tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
So just go out there with intensity.
Yeah, I mean, you're at home, they're wearing it's a blackout at the shoe, they're wearing the all-black uniforms.
Have you seen their cleats?
I have seen the LeBron cleats.
Yeah. Yes.
Spot on. Did you see Kevin Durant's cleats he gave to Texas?
No.
Those are pretty nasty, too. Yeah, I mean, when they played Purdue, they were very lackadaisical. It didn't seem like they wanted to be out there. I don't know if it's like, if they had in their mind that, oh, it's just Purdue, it'll be an easy win. No, it wasn't. You guys struggled to start off with. I don't know if it was the fact that former student who was battling cancer was, I mean, that would boost any team. Like, you have that student for Purdue and like you want to ball out and play. Like, this is the game he picked to be at to support you guys, and he's one of their diehard fans. So that's a factor in Purdue's win. But also, I mean, they played very good football. Yeah. Purdue just balling out and just picking off Ohio State left and right, finding the holes and the gaps, and it was just abysmal play there by the Buckeyes 2 weeks ago. So hopefully they'll look to bounce back this week, tomorrow, I should say, against Nebraska. Also at 12, number 2, Clemson will play host to Louisville on ABC. On the ACC network, number 19, Syracuse will travel and play Wake Forest. Number 20, Texas A&M will travel to play Auburn on ESPN at 12. Number 24, Iowa State will travel to Lawrence, Kansas to take on the Jayhawks. To kick off the afternoon games at 3:30, there is a huge matchup in the SEC when number 6, Georgia, will travel to Lexington, Kentucky to take on number 9, Wildcats, on CBS. I mean, there's another game in here that's a big one to keep an eye out, but there's a lot of good games this weekend. I mean, that Georgia-Kentucky game is going to be a very good one to watch. Kentucky battling back against Missouri last week, as we talked about on Monday. And that, you're fine. I feel it. It's Friday, man.
It's been a long week.
Been a long week. I'm ready for the weekend. But yeah, I mean, Kentucky battling back against Missouri last week, winning 15-12. Pretty good comeback there from the Wildcats. Following the Ohio State-Nebraska game on Fox, number 13, West Virginia will travel to Austin, Texas to take on the 17th-ranked Longhorns. That'll be a good game to watch there on Fox. On ESPN2, number 16, Iowa will travel to West Lafayette to take on the Boilermakers of Purdue. Purdue, who was not on their bye, they played last week and lost to Michigan State, will look to bounce back and knock off another team in the top 25 against Iowa. On ABC, following the Clemson-Louisville game, Florida State will travel to Raleigh, North Carolina to take on number 21, NC State. At 3:45 on ESPN, probably the game I'll be more intrigued to watch. It's a top 15 matchup, and also a big matchup inside the Big Ten as number 14, Penn State, will travel to the Big House and take on number 5, Michigan. Michigan did not move in the rankings. I think they were 5th last week as well. Yeah, and I don't think any of the top 5 moved from the previous power rankings from the AP. The college football playoff ranking did come out Tuesday, but I do not have those rankings. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a good game. I know last year Penn State hosted Michigan, and I think Penn State was the higher seed at that time, and Michigan just came in and obliterated the Nittany Lions. It'd be nice to see Michigan lose this game, but I don't think that'll happen. At 3:45 on the ACC network, number 22, Boston College will travel to play Virginia Tech. At 4 on the SEC network, Missouri will travel to Gainesville, Florida to take on the 11th-ranked Gators of Florida. Number 15, Utah will travel to take on Arizona State. The primetime game on ESPN starting at 7:15, we will see Number four, Notre Dame take on the Red Hot Wildcats from Northwestern. Now, Northwestern is coming off a huge victory this past weekend against Wisconsin, knocking them out of the top 25. Wisconsin was ranked 20th after they got beat by Michigan 2 weeks ago in what was a brutal game there for the Badgers. Number 18, Mississippi State will host Louisiana Tech at 7:30 on the SEC Network. And this is the game I'm referred to, Trent. At 8 o'clock on CBS, big time game. Big time game going on in Baton Rouge. Yeah. Number 3, LSU will host number 1, Alabama. Honestly, that will probably determine, one, I would believe the SEC champion. Two, one of those teams, I say if they lose, depending on how the rest of the season goes, I don't know if they'll make it to the college football playoff. That's a big assumption, I know.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean,
I'm rooting for LSU. I mean, what's his name? Their starting quarterback transferred from Ohio State. Why am I blanking on his name? Ugh. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, that's why I'm rooting for the Tigers.
All right, I'm not a big Alabama fan, so
I'm not either.
I always got to go against go against Bama, so it's got to be LSU.
All right, well, we'll see come Monday if we are right or not. At 8 o'clock on ABC, number 7, Oklahoma will travel to play Texas Tech. Now, the strange thing and also kind of cool thing, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Oklahoma, they hosted Texas Tech, but Baker Mayfield was the quarterback at Oklahoma, and Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback at Texas Tech. What's strange about it, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs traveled to Cleveland to take on Baker Mayfield and the Browns this Sunday. Yeah, mind blown. Insane. Like, the fact that their two former colleges play at the same time as the Browns and the Chiefs is just insane.
Craziness.
The two late night games, we will see number 23 Fresno State travel to Las Vegas to take on UNLV on CBS Sports Network at 10:30. And at 10:45 on ESPN, number 8 Washington State will play host to Cal. Now, moving on from Saturday's slate of games in the NCAA in Division I football, we'll move to Sunday, talk about the NFL. But before we talk about the games, I want to catch you guys up on some of the trades. The trade deadline was this past Tuesday, October 30th. Some of these are kind of head-scratchers. So the first one, I think, is a big head-scratcher. The Redskins trade for Packers safety, HaHa Clinton Dix, for a 2019 fourth-round pick. Yeah. I don't understand why Green Bay traded away their starting safety to a team in the NFC.
Yeah. I only heard about a couple of these because I was in class, but
yeah, some of these are head scratchers. Okay. The Ravens traded for Packers running back wide receiver Ty Montgomery. Montgomery, who had just 26 carries and 15 catches in Green Bay this season, is headed to Baltimore for a 7th-round pick in 2020. He is a free agent after the season, which is understandable. Some of these trades are because they don't think they're going to re-sign him. They have depth at that position.
Well, yeah, I heard like Green Bay wasn't going to re-sign him after this year anyway. So
yeah, so might as well just give him to a team and get picks back in return.
Yeah,
this one was kind of surprising. The Rams trade for Jaguars, their former number 3 overall pick, defensive lineman Dante Fowler Jr. The Rams are giving up a 2019 third-round pick and a 2020 fifth-round pick. Now, Fowler has 2 sacks this season while playing only 32.7% of the Jaguars' defensive snaps. I guess my only thing is I don't know who on the Rams' defensive line is out and injured. Because, I mean, they got Michael Brockers, they got Ndamukong Suh, they got Aaron Donald. I don't know who their other defensive tackle would be or the other guy on the line if they run a 4-3. But the fact that they traded for another defensive lineman shows that they're all in this season. And I feel like, I don't know, like the Rams barely held on and beat Green Bay this past weekend.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a tough matchup again this Sunday against New Orleans. So I don't know if it's playing these teams that they couldn't meet in the playoffs.
They just might want more depth.
Yeah.
In their depth chart.
I mean, that could be it. The one that surprised me, though, was the The Philadelphia Eagles, they traded for Lions wide receiver Golden Tate. He will be a free agent, though, this offseason for a third-round pick. The Eagles traded a third-round pick for Golden Tate. Tate, though, had 44 catches and 3 touchdowns in Detroit this season. I don't know if the Lions are wanting to rebuild or they just didn't want to re-sign Tate after the season, which, I mean, that could be the possibility, just not wanting to re-sign him with him being 30. He's a free agent. He's not as productive as he once was. But, I mean, Detroit has decent receivers anyways. I mean, yeah. They got Marvin Jones. They got Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
And he's one of their young receivers that they really like.
Fantasy
team. See, he's on your fantasy team?
Yes, sir.
But the last trade that I think was the first one to happen on Tuesday, the Houston Texans trade for Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas for a 4th and 7th round pick, while Houston receives Thomas and a 7th round pick. Houston is getting some receiver help by adding the former first rounder Thomas, who had 665 catches and 60 touchdowns in his 9-plus seasons in Denver. Now, this is a smart move by Houston because Will Fuller, who got hurt last Thursday, it was last Thursday because they played the Dolphins, tore his ACL, out for the year. And their third-string receiver, Kuti, I think that's his name, how you pronounce it at least. He's been questionable throughout the last couple of weeks with some nagging injuries, and you can't just always throw it to DeAndre Hopkins. I mean,
yeah,
you need some help. So bringing in a wide receiver like Demaryius Thomas will surely help that offense and help Deshaun Watson. What's funny is I traded my dad for Demaryius Thomas. Like, I got Demaryius Thomas for my dad and my fantasy. I needed a receiver, dude.
I just need a new team. But no, I've been on a lull for the past couple weeks. And, I mean, Deshaun Watson's back in my starting lineup because he was, fantasy-wise, he wasn't giving me much. So I benched him, and then he went off last week, and I really should have had him in. So now he's in there, and now he just has one more threat that he can throw to.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will give me more points.
Hopefully. But also going on before we get to the schedule, the Browns fired not only one coach, but two coaches. They fired head coach Hugh Jackson and their offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. The question is, though, who are they going to bring in to coach Baker Mayfield next year? Well, I found some options. Thanks to the internet. The first one is he's currently a head coach in the NFL. He's currently the Packers head coach, and that's Mike McCarthy. This assumes that the Packers move on from McCarthy at the end of the season, which is far from a certainty, but if it happens, expect a front office packed with former Packers executives to put McCarthy at the top of the list. Second one, which I think would be a smart move, would be Lincoln Riley. Right now, he is the head coach at Oklahoma, and he coached Baker Mayfield in college. And under Riley, Baker had a tremendous
career.
I think it was two seasons that he had Riley as a head coach. Riley is on the radar of a lot of NFL teams, and if he decides he wants to try the NFL, he has been mentioned several times as a potential Jason Garrett replacement in Dallas if the Cowboys decide to make a change. The Mayfield connection makes him an obvious target for the Browns if he is available. The third candidate would be Matt Campbell. He is the head coach at Iowa State and is said to be well regarded by Dorsey, who is the Browns' manager. Eric Bieniemy, I think that's how you pronounce it. He succeeded Matt Nagy as Chiefs offensive coordinator this year. Maybe too inexperienced at this point, but teams really like to hire Andy Reid guys. The one thing that I think is surprising on this list, well, two of them, because they're back-to-back. The first one is Jim Harbaugh. A lot of people in the NFL still think that this Michigan coach, Jim Harbaugh, will want another crack at being a coach in the NFL again. He'll be a hot candidate in several places if and when that happens.
He was honestly the first. Jim Harbaugh was the first person that I heard of.
Really?
Yeah, when I found out he got fired and they were looking, he was the first person that someone told me that they were looking at. And I was like, okay, I can see.
Right. Yeah, because it was a couple of days ago after Hugh Jackson got fired that one of my favorite sports guys, Colin Cowherd, on his show, he was talking about how the Browns need to go after Lincoln Riley. That it's just a no-brainer. I mean, look at the success, as we mentioned, that Riley and Mayfield had the last two seasons at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, the next one that's surprising to me is Urban Meyer.
I love the comment. I love the comment.
Yeah, the comment says, hey, he's big in Ohio, which is true. But I don't know. Because there's reports that came out that he has a brain cyst or something going on that he's been getting a lot of headaches. So, like, I mean, his health was a big factor in why he left Florida. And then once he got better, came to Ohio State. And now people are saying he could be done here soon coaching at Ohio State, which scares me a little bit because I don't know who we'd replace with Urban Meyer unless we just give it to Ryan Day, who did a pretty good job filling in while Meyer was suspended this season. Next on this list was Brian Flores. He's a well-regarded Patriots defensive coach who got some attention on last year's interview circuit. He had to come with a strong offensive coordinator and a plan for Mayfield, but those who know him rave about his leadership qualities. John DeFilippo, I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Some of these names are weird. he jumped from Eagles quarterback coach... to the Vikings offensive coordinator following Philly's Super Bowl title. He is a former Browns offensive coordinator who's from Youngstown. So
keeping it
a hometown connection there, basically. Dan Campbell, he was once the Dolphins interim head coach and remains an intriguing head coaching prospect for teams currently on Sean Payton's staff with the Saints, who may be in the midst of a special season. Zach Taylor, he's the Rams quarterback coach, and like Benini me, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. he may still be too green for an assignment like this, but a lot of teams are going to want to get a piece of what Sean McVay is doing out there in LA, which, I mean, I would want anything that Sean McVay, because that tremendous coach. What was it, last year, his first year as Rams coach, I do believe, or was it 2 years ago? Because he filled in, didn't have a great year. No, it was last year, because Jared Goff is in his third year. His rookie season was the last season for the Rams' previous head coach, which I can't remember his name. McVay comes in, and Goff goes off, and he has a tremendous year. They make it to the playoffs. They get beat in the wild card game, but right now they're undefeated. They're 8-0. I mean, they barely survived last week, but, I mean, they were playing a good Green Bay Packers team.
They still won.
So. They still won, yes. Dave Taub, the Chiefs special teams coach, always seems to be on these lists, and NFL people believe he'll get a shot eventually. The only thing is, could it come from under former Chiefs GM Dorsey? George Edwards, he's the Vikings defensive coordinator. He's another guy who gets attention every year, but no job offers. His time will come. And then last but not least, Terrell Austin. He is the Bengals defensive coordinator. Ditto what we said for Edwards, as his time will come. So, I mean, a lot of options there for the Browns. I mean, not only on this list, but also for... Say you're John Dorsey. You're the Browns general manager. Out of all these guys, I know some of them you probably don't know who they are. If you had to put a list or put their names on a dartboard and you just had to throw a dart, who would you wish that it would land on?
Oh, man. That's a hard choice.
It is a hard choice. Or take the dart thing out of it. Just out of this list, who would you pick and why?
Oh, the tie. Put me on the spot like that. who would you pick?
It depends. If Lincoln Riley wants to leave Oklahoma, I'm for sure taking Lincoln Riley. I mean, he's a darn good coach. I mean, look what he's doing at Oklahoma right now. And some of these coaches who come from college to the NFL succeed. Sometimes they don't, but... You got to make sure, you got to have the team buy in. If the team doesn't buy in, that's when you fail. But I'd say Lincoln Riley, I don't know, some of these are college coaches. So, like, I hate to see Urban Meyer leave Ohio State, but I feel like he could turn things around. But if you want an experienced coach, who's already a head coach, Mike McCarthy, would be the guy to go if Green Bay decides to let him go. So, I mean, right there is three valued coaches in Mike McCarthy, who is currently Green Bay's head coach, who I do believe led Green Bay to a Super Bowl title within the last 10 years. Can't remember what year it was. All I know is against my Steelers, which irritates me.
Sore subject.
You got Lincoln Riley, who just does tremendous things with Oklahoma in the last couple of seasons, including this one. And then Urban Meyer. I mean, I think Cleveland would erupt if Urban Meyer was hired in. I don't know if the whole state of Ohio would. I would assume they would. But, yeah, I feel like Urban Meyer would be a good choice as well. On to the NFL schedule. So last night, I watched the majority of this game. It was the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, and San Fran came out on top 34-3. Nick Mullins, I guess he's been with San Francisco for the last couple of seasons, just hasn't been his time. I've never heard of the kid. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say kid, but I never heard of the guy until last night when they started him. I guess C.J. Beathard was hurt, and they just didn't want to risk further injury. But Mullins had a darn good game. He threw for 262 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So congratulations on Mullins for getting the start, getting his first victory, and just having a day with it. Raheem Morsett led the way rushing for the Niners with 86 yards on, I think it was 7 carries, and he had 1 touchdown. But he unfortunately got hurt, and it looked like he broke his forearm. Like that
yeah,
bone.
I saw that part. I watched the in and out of the game yesterday, and I watched him when he was walking off the field, and I was like,
I saw the replay when they showed it. They're like, this is graphic, so if you want to look away, I would suggest looking away. And
what hit him? Like what part of the?
It was the field. Like, he was falling down. Like it was.
Okay.
It was the arm that didn't have the ball, and he was going to catch himself with his arm.
So he was just catching himself, and he
snapped. And it, like, just snapped. I'm like, oh. Because the commentators, Joe Buck and, oh, my God. Why am I blanking? He's a Dallas Cowboy, former Dallas Cowboy player, Troy Aikman. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because we're live, and my mind's just out there, and it's
and
the weekend.
It's been a long week.
Yeah. But anyways, they heard a scream. And they said they heard a scream, and it was a player was down. And so they went to commercial, and they're like, oh, God. Yeah, it was – I saw that replay. I'm like, what happened? So I looked, even though they said it was going to be a little gruesome. And it – like his – yeah, it shouldn't have bent that way. It was – I'm just getting chills thinking about it. But, yeah, I mean, that – stinks though for San Fran losing their backup running back. I mean, they have they have Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. So Mossert was their like fourth string because Jerick McKinnon, who they signed this past offseason, tore his ACL, so he was out for the year. But they had 3 good running backs, lost one to injuries. Now they're down to 2, and that's just a bad blow for this young man, because he had a great day on the ground.
Yeah.
86 yards, 1 score. He broke it off. But, yeah, I mean, that just sucks, man. George Kittle led the way receiving for the Niners with 108 yards. Not 800. My God, that'd be like an NFL record no one would ever break.
Yeah.
He had 108 yards on 4 catches with 1 score. So with that loss for Oakland, I did see that positions them for the number one pick in this coming draft. If they're smart, well, I guess I should say if they're smart, it just depends on who they need. Because right now projected to be the number one overall pick is Nick Bosa. Yeah. But that's the thing. They need a lot of they have a lot of holes they need to fill.
Yeah.
And I guess they can go defensively because, I mean, they traded away Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And having that pass rusher in Nick Bosa will surely help fill that void.
For sure.
Because I think they have all the trades they did, they got 5 first-round draft picks.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So now it's not the Browns dominating the draft. It's the Raiders. So the slate of games that start at 1 o'clock on Sunday in the NFL, they go Chicago at Buffalo. As I mentioned, Kansas City at Cleveland. I'll try to watch that game. That'll be a good game to watch. I got Patty Mahomes in my ESPN league. Hopefully, I'm just praying he just picks apart Cleveland's defense. I'm sorry.
I don't want that to happen.
I'm sorry. You got the Jets at Miami. Detroit at... Got the hiccups. Detroit at Minnesota. Atlanta at Washington. Tampa Bay at Carolina. And then the one I'll definitely be trying to pay attention to will be Pittsburgh at Baltimore. The late afternoon games, Houston at Denver, the Chargers at Seattle, and the Rams at New Orleans. Now, what's funny is Tuesday, Houston and Denver made that trade for Demaryius Thomas. Now watch Demaryius Thomas just tear apart his former team.
That'd be great.
I wish that would happen.
Nice catch.
That was a nice catch. There again. You're going to break your phone cord there, buddy.
That was an accident.
Another big game, though, in that late afternoon slate will be the Rams at the Saints. That will be a big one to watch there. That will really determine to see if the Rams are legit or not. The Saints, I think they only have one loss in the year. The Rams, as we said, are undefeated. That game is on Fox. The Sunday night game will be a good one to watch, too. Green Bay at New England. Just watching two probably the best quarterbacks in the league right now, other than Drew Brees. So two of the three of the best quarterbacks will be going head-to-head. And there was a thing that came out earlier this week that Tom Brady said he thinks if Aaron Rodgers was in New England, he'd be way better than him. Yeah. And that's coming from the GOAT, Tom Brady.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah. Very.
Yeah.
The Monday night game is the Tennessee Titans at the Dallas Cowboys. I'm hoping, as we mentioned on Monday, I do believe, Amari Cooper from the Raiders was traded to Dallas. I got Amari Cooper on my fantasy team. Hopefully, this new team brings new life and a better season. Teams on bye, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, the New York Giants, Philadelphia, Arizona, and Jacksonville. So that's all the sports going on right now. Outside of Bluffton, Trent and I will be back here in about 60 seconds to talk about Bluffton, and then we'll be done and on with the rest of our weekends. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.